Hockey Central at noon is Hockey Central at any time you want it to be. When you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. He's an author, and this is his three-hour audio book. Wonder who dies in the end? Let's find out. This is the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
So there you are. The Blue Jays went 4-3 in their strange end of season West Coast trip and holding serve in the process and pretty much putting themselves in command of the AL wildcard race, which, you know, is pretty much what I think Stephen Brunt and myself expected them to do in this trip. But I'm going to digress a little bit here because for the positive signs we saw in this trip, and there were some, we saw some home runs, probably the best turn through the rotation in, I don't know, 6 weeks. And even a pimped homer by Jose Bautista that suggested just a little bit of that swagger has come back. It's hard not to escape the notion that this looks very much right now like a team on fumes. You know, I have to think that Josh Donaldson is hurt beyond what we know. You know, just as Kevin Pillar broke his hand last year slugging the dugout wall in an injury that was surprisingly easy to keep quiet, I've got to think something's up with Josh Donaldson. I've got to think something explains that game-losing defense on Wednesday. And make no mistake, there were plenty of offensive opportunities pissed away, but that game was lost because of Donaldson's throwing error and inability to squeeze the ball. The Blue Jays are playing their worst defense at precisely the worst time of the year, and Donaldson's inning suggests to me that one of the real keys in these next 10 games is going to be how John Gibbons manages his lineup in-game, how he navigates his way around an older, slower team that essentially needs to put the pedal to the metal for the first time since this core has been together. Ideally, the Jays steamroll the Yankees and Orioles at home, solidify their wild card hopes, and then go into Boston with just a little bit of breathing room. I mean, maybe even enough to render that final game of those three games meaningless. Look, wild card teams have won World Series in the past because they've been able to get into this unbelievable zone of focus. That's what Bruce Bochy called it one time. Just as this idea that for a 3 week span or a month span, absolutely nothing else in your life matters. And they're usually led by their pitching and their defense. Now, the Jays have that first commodity. Right now, I'm not certain about the second.
The Jeff Blair Show is on the air on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Join the conversation with Jeff on Twitter using the hashtag Blair Show or call 416-870-0590. Now, here's Jeff Blair.
We just got to play good every day. And even though we got getting lost today, we played a good ball game against one of the best pitchers in the last 10 years. So we just got to continue to play good baseball and keep our heads up. I mean, we're in a good position. We just have to finish off strong.
That's Jose Bautista talking after yesterday's 2-1 loss to the Seattle Mariners in 12 innings. Jose Bautista, Stephen Brunt, the game-tying home run, picked it up a little bit. I mean, mm-hmm. I would say, three or four backward skips towards first base counts as it was a bit of a pimp job.
Now,
I mean,
it
wasn't bat flip.
And I've been thinking, I've been waiting to say this all night. You realize that Jose Bautista, with that home run, prevented that bum Aaron Sanchez from taking the loss. That was a pitcher loss, right? Wasn't it? What a bum. A loser.
Oh, I see. You're having fun with wins. Wins, right?
Well, because loss is the other side of wins, right?
Oh, okay.
And I did listen to Buck.
With Barker yesterday.
With Buck and Barker together. My God. Set baseball.
Well, it didn't set baseball back.
Back 20 years.
No, it did.
It did.
Wins are important. I came away believing pitchers' wins are important.
You did? You were convinced
important.
By that argument?
I was convinced.
Holy smokes.
It doesn't take much to convince me.
I got some stuff to sell you.
It doesn't take much to convince me. You know that. Usually an usually an alcoholic beverage.
Oh, yeah, that's
even a smile sometimes is enough to convince me of things. But anyhow.
Anyway, yes. No, what did I take my takeaway from yesterday and this whole the 7-game road trip where, as you say, I think aptly put, they held serve, which was, I'm not sure what I thought they would do, but it was kind of the minimum necessary. And it turns out, you know, Baltimore didn't exactly hold serve against the Boston Red Sox. So that's, you know, there's some bad things going on for that team right now. But if the Jays pitch like that, they'll be fine. That doesn't mean they'll win the World Series, but they'll be in the postseason. If the rotation pitches that way, they'll be in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
And if the rotation pitches that way and the bullpen holds up, they'll have a chance to win a wild card game and they'll have a chance in a division series. And then you've got a chance no matter what. Pitching is it. And this team said it a million times in the last month, but this team is built on starting pitching and a great back end of the bullpen, great closer anyway.
Well, it's actually kind of morphed into that. I think more than I think this team was built to outslug teams.
It was. Oh, it was, but it hasn't.
But it hasn't, right.
Yeah. So, we thought that was what it was built to do. But in fact, what it is a team with really terrific, consistent starting pitching and a great closer that will have the very odd outburst like the 10-run game against Seattle. But that's not the norm. No, I'm not saying yesterday is the norm either. You know, they're not all going to be – they're not going to be 1-1. But this is not a team that's going to – I don't think is going to club anyone into submission, especially given that it's the core guys – some of the core guys to do that are beat up or having bad years. So I love the turn through the rotation.
Mm-hmm.
I loved Osuna yesterday coming out, striking out four guys. I hate the defense.
Yeah, the defense looks really bad.
Because that
right
is
now.
The flip side of pitching. You know, it doesn't matter how good your pitching is if you boot the ball around it. And this has been – and I'm not sure what you do with that. You know, I'm not sure – what's going on with Devin Travis. And I'm not sure, like Donaldson, I think what's going on is that he's got a, although, you know, he's run the bases really well for a guy with a bad hip.
Well, I was going to say, you know, watching him play, I'm not a doctor, but he seems to have difficulty squeezing the glove right now.
Which is, well, he did have a hand problem, right? I'm not making excuses. But.
No. I mean, listen, here's the thing with Josh Donaldson is, and John Gibbons will say the same thing. He said Josh Donaldson has an enormous sense of responsibility. He feels responsible to be in the lineup every day.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is a guy in the team who isn't going to tell you, whether it's the manager or the training staff, that he's hurt, it's Josh Donaldson. And that I'm not trying to build him up into something he isn't. That's just the way the dude's wired. That is absolutely the way the dude's wired. He's got an incredible pain threshold. And so anytime I criticize Josh Donaldson, I always feel like I have to put an asterisk there because I've got to think the guy is playing with some sort of injury, maybe even beyond the hip. Devin Travis to me is more of a concern, and
he looks like he's got the yips.
Well, he does.
Yeah. Like I don't think he's a bad defensive player because there's nothing to suggest. I think his rep coming in when the Jays got him was that he was not a. He's not a gold glove second baseman, but he was at least adequate as a second baseman. And, he turns the double play well. He does some things, the really hard stuff you have to do at second base quite well. But, it gets in your head at a certain point.
Well, and it's the type of thing, too, you can't out-coach it on September 22nd.
Nope.
You can't coach him up. I mean, you can't coach him up in baseball to begin with for the most part, but you're certainly not going to do it on September 22nd. And I guess that's my concern about this team right now is I see three players, everyday players, who ideally would be DHing for me. And, of course, that isn't going to work. Batista, Donaldson, and Travis. I mean, I would rather right now that none of them are in the field.
Well, there's different issues with different guys. Like, I think Batista looks a little better, in terms of his mobility in the last little while. But, yeah, he's not. You could do better defensively in right field. There's no question about that. The problem with Donaldson is if you DH him, then that means you're bringing in a Darwin Barney, right?
Yep.
Or Ryan Goins. That's a big drop off. You're going to you can fiddle around at first base a little bit. You can fiddle around in right field a little bit. You're going to have an offensive drop off in those cases as well. But I know Barney's done some nice things this year, and I know Goins did some nice things last year. But that's that's a tricky one. For this team, for a team that is struggling to score runs, I think they're going to have to scrape runs out. So, I think you're almost locked in. Like unless Donaldson takes himself out of the lineup, he's going to be playing third base. I really believe that. And then the DH thing, you're going to flip around depending on situations. Whether it's Bautista giving Edwin a blow occasionally, I think they don't want him to play first base every day. They think it's better for him to DH sometimes. And he's one of the guys. Of those guys, he's the one who's comfortable as a DH.
Right.
He likes it. So, it's not ideal. And you're not going to get your ideal lineup between now and whenever this team finishes playing baseball this year, because that, because, you know, guys are hurt and guys are older, and yeah, you're not, it's not firing on all cylinders, but I think that's not an option. So you're going to have to gonna have to win games without that. But the good part of it is that your rotation is firing on all cylinders.
Yep.
It would appear.
Yeah. We mentioned yesterday, by the way, that we at Sportsnet 590, The Fan, are proud to sponsor the Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer for a sixth consecutive year. And we will be doing it all day today. It's an all-day road hockey marathon that aims to be the biggest road hockey fundraiser of all time. And all proceeds benefit the Princess Margaret Cancer Foundation. It'll be held on October 1st at Woodbine Racetrack. There'll be hundreds of teams made up of people of all ages and skill levels. And you can register as a team or individual at teamuptocancer.ca and join us for a full day of road hockey. You can also show your support if you want by making a donation to Team Sportsnet 590 The Fan at sportsnet.ca/590. As I mentioned, we are going to be giving away, we're going to be auctioning off, I should say, prize packages all day. And the prize package that we have for you this morning is the Ultimate Golf Package, which includes a foursome of golf at Royal Woodbine Golf Club and a framed photo autographed by Mike Weir from the 2004 Players' Championship. So again, that's a foursome of golf at Royal Woodbine Golf Club and a framed photo from Mike Weir, a framed shot taken at the 2004 Players' Championship. So the bidding will start at $300.
Now, you can't bid, Blair. You know that, and I know you want that one bad. You can't bid. You're not eligible. You have to stay out of this one. Let other people have that package.
The bidding starts at $300. You can call 416-764-6760 to place your bid now. That's 416-764-6760. Yeah, why'd you do that? I mean, these people gave us a nice thing to give away, and you're
people
essentially,
who are passionate about golf are going to jump in there and are going to bid for it.
Yeah, exactly, and they should.
People like
it's
you.
It's a great cause.
Who
and
are passionate
and
about golf.
Is there a racetrack near Woodbine? We're not. That's not at Woodbine. Where is
no,
it?
No, it's at Royal Woodbine, right?
Royal Woodbine.
I don't think this, that's the same thing.
Okay. Anyhow.
They had a watch they auctioned off this morning, right? Fancy watch.
Did they?
Yeah, I heard that.
What type of watch was it? Was it a Piaget or something like that?
I don't know. I heard the promo this morning. It sounded like a nice watch.
Hmm. Well, anyhow, we've got a foursome at Royal Woodbine and a framed photo of Mike Weir from the 2004 Players' Championship. Did he win that?
I don't know.
Okay. Let's bring in Shai Davidi.
He'll know.
He'll know. How you doing, Shai?
Good morning, guys.
What the hell are you doing up? Why are you on the radio?
It's a good question. I got invited. I wasn't going to be sleeping right now anyway because I got a sturdy 2 hours on the plane last night. So,
you took the red eye.
Always the red eye.
Red eye is a smart move.
It's a smart move before and after, not during.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Depends on who your seatmate is.
Did you get to watch any movies?
No, I managed to conk out for 2 hours, so it worked out okay.
All right. Well, you sound good. You sound chipper.
I'm not sure about the chipper part, but I am conscious, so we'll take that as a plus.
That's our minimum for guests.
Yeah, that is. And actually, we've been known to waive that minimum at times. So, Josh Donaldson, what the hell happened?
Great question. I think that what we've seen since he returned to the field in Anaheim, playing on the hip, is that he's clearly not himself. He's not. He doesn't look steady on his feet. You can understand because he's got a hip issue, which is probably ridiculously painful that he's getting through. And so, the first batter, I believe was it Heredia who reached. He can run a little bit. So it was a slow roller. It was a pressure play, and so he overthrew a little bit. But the play at third, that's the one on the bunt. That's the one that's more difficult to understand because it's not. There have been a couple other incidents recently where balls have popped out of his glove at third base, and that's just completely uncharacteristic. And I don't know if the glove is too loose or what's going on there. But it certainly didn't work out too well.
Now, he has had hand issues, but I'm trying to remember if that's even the same hand, Shai. I'm sorry, I'm blanking out on that, but he did.
I believe it's the right thumb.
It's yes, actually, it is the throwing hand, right?
It's the throwing hand, so it's not the glove hand. So that's not.
No.
So that's not that.
No.
How the Jeff and I are just talking about it. You know, the one thing, you know, the pitching is kind of settled back in, and the rotation looked actually very, very good through this road trip by and large. Roberto Osuna looks like Roberto Osuna, and that has been this team's strength consistently since April. But you have to have defense to go with pitching, right? That's the flip side of that. And if you don't have it, it doesn't matter. Devin Travis's struggles, Josh Donaldson's struggles by other guys at times. There's not much you can do at this stage in the season, is there, Shai, to fix that? Because, you know, again, some of that seems to be, these are guys who have reputations for being at least decent defensive players. It's not like the ball is finding the one guy in the field who can't catch. But there seem to be kind of, you know, confidence issues, I guess, is part of it.
I think with Devin Travis, maybe, but because it's been a pretty rough month for him. And, you know, I talked to him about this maybe a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago. And he said the one thing that he has to always do is remind himself to kind of slow down, because he has a tendency to try to do things too fast. And I think if you've watched him play over the last little while, there are instances where you almost see him slowing himself down and taking that extra step when he knows he has the time. And when the play is going to be a little bit more bang-bang, you see him kind of rushing a little bit. And that's what I think happened to him. Was it the Tuesday night, the Hap game, on that first play where, you know, he slid, he got the ball, but he bobbled it, and then he didn't get an out at either base, and that really set up the rest of the inning, where if he just slides, gets the ball, controls it, and doesn't try to look to second, just looks to first for the out there, you know, Jay Hap ends up getting out of that inning. So I think you can make the case there. I think the issue with Donaldson, I think, is largely due to the hip. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think, you know, you've got a lot of guys on this team who are dealing with leg issues right now, and that's pretty hard. And that has an impact not only defensively but offensively too. And really, at this point, it's all about survival and just getting through the season, especially when the team is as beat up as the Blue Jays are. So I think that's the combination of factors. And you're right, there really isn't much you can do right now.
And we should also mention, by the way, that as has been sort of par for the course of the Blue Jays lately, they did have several chances in that game, not to break open the game, to certainly take the lead. I mean, Mike Freeman, nothing you can do on that. Kevin Pillar smokes that ball. Mm-hmm. Freeman makes a great play on that. To me, the bigger question, the 11th inning, Donaldson singles, Edwin draws a walk, Bautista strikes out, and Martin hits into a double play. Although, you know, given what Russ Martin has been doing, I don't think you can really be too critical of him. Shai, as Brent said earlier, the one thing I really took away from that game as a plus was Aaron Sanchez. I mean, if Aaron Sanchez can pitch like that and successfully deal with his blister issue like that and have that type of curveball and have that, you know, just look as comfortable as he did on the mound, that's a huge, huge positive takeaway for this team. And in fact, I would think this turn through the rotation may have been the most impressive turn we've seen in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with you on all that. But the thing that, to me, that's particularly important is that the Blue Jays worked so hard over the last couple of months to set up their rotation mm-hmm. for this, to have Aaron Sanchez pitching in this game against the Mariners and then against the Baltimore Orioles and then the Boston Red Sox on the last day of the season, if it matters. So for him to pitch and kind of rise to the occasion in that moment, especially on, you know, the 10 days rest or 9 days rest or whatever it was, that's a really good sign, because, you know, he didn't shrink from it. He had mm-hmm. to deal with some issues and overcome them, and to still perform in that environment, that's really telling. So you're right, that of all the things that went wrong and all the things that weren't good, you know, if they can get that kind of Aaron Sanchez against the Baltimore Orioles, and really that what's probably going to be the decisive series of the mm-hmm. season for this team, and then against the Boston Red Sox, again, if it matters, you know, the Blue Jays will certainly be feel good about that.
Well, and if it doesn't matter, he's, you know, and again, on the positive side, if it doesn't matter, he's probably pitching the wild card game, isn't he?
Right. Or, you know, yeah, I was going to say, or perhaps game one of the ALDS, but, you know, that's not going to happen at this point.
It appears unlikely. It was, an odd kind of emotional swings during that seven games on the West Coast, Shai. And, you know, go in and win the first two in California, feel like you're set up to do something special. Lose the next two in California. Oh, my God. You know, you've blown two against a bad team. Win the first two against Seattle in impressive fashion. Kind of take charge. You can bury them. And then you have the ups and downs of that seventh game, you know, winnable game. The dramatics from Bautista, and then the kind of disappointing way you end up losing it. If you were taking the temperature of this team right now, Shai, what would you say?
I would say that, honestly, and this, I don't mean to kind of skirt the question directly. I think right now this is a team that is very happy it has an off day today.
Mm-hmm.
No,
that's fair. That's fair observation.
Yeah. And just, you're right. It has been a lot of swings. A lot of ups and downs, but I think they're really beat up physically, and there are a lot of guys who need an off day, and there are a lot of guys who could use a DH day, and, you know, that can only be rotated to one person a night. But the physical part is what they're really fighting through, maybe even more so than the emotional part. I thought they were low. They came into Seattle low after the two losses in Anaheim. I think a lot of guys were pissed off, and quite rightly so. They should have been pissed off. They should have won at least one, if not both, of those games. And then they were able to answer the bell. And, you know, sometimes this is lip service, but I legitimately believe, and, you know, guys kept mentioning it on their own and volunteering it, not really doing it when prompted, that the fans, the crowd that the Blue Jays had in Seattle really gave them a bit of a lift too. And so I think that picked up their energy, and I think they went home knowing that they did the minimum they needed to do, which was 4-3. But realizing that they're in control of their own fate, but they could have certainly made life easier for themselves, because 5-2 and 6-1 was certainly on the table.
In conversation with Shai Davidi on the Jeff Blair Show. Ari Dickey came in relief last night, at which point I have to admit I turned the TV off just because, well, it was handy because I was doing something to take my daughter someplace, and it was kind of a handy coincidence.
Wasn't his fault.
It was not Ari Dickey's fault, by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, he got three outs.
Yeah, he did. Well, absolutely. Realistically, Shai. Does John Gibbons have enough confidence in R.A. Dickey to maybe use him in, I don't know, the sixth inning of a game, or, you know, the fifth inning of a game if something happens to one of his starters?
Well, it's all going to revolve around the score, right? Because if Dickey comes in, it means Martin, or if Navarro's catching, Navarro's coming out of the game, because Tolle has to come in as well. And so in a leveraged spot when there are other options, I wouldn't expect that we would see him.
Yeah.
But, you know, and to me, the only way he's going to get another start, I think, unless someone gets hurt, is if that last game of the season isn't pivotal,
right,
then he starts in Boston for Sanchez.
It seems to me that the only way you like, unless he's willing to let him pitch to Martin, essentially, because, you know, Navarro hasn't been used that much, very much, since he's been back. But unless he's willing to let him pitch to Russell Martin, or Russell Martin is willing to try and catch him, I don't think he can use him. You know, you're not going to drop Josh Tolle into the middle of a game in the sixth inning. You know, you can bring him in last night because they might have played 18, right? And that was a sound move at that point in that particular ball game. But the notion that Russ Martin can catch R.A. Dickey even for an inning seems to be out the window.
Yeah, and really, you know, Russ Martin has taken an awful beating behind the plate this year, right? I mean, he catches some very tough dudes to catch. You know, Sanchez alone is a handful, but, you know, the Jays have a lot of guys with run and sink. Liriano's one of those guys now too. And that, you know, to throw Dickey into that mix on top of everything else is probably a lot to ask. And Dickey is not maybe as much of a physical challenge as it is a mental challenge, to the concentration that's needed to kind of focus in on that. And when a guy hasn't caught the knuckleball in a year, and you're going to say, all right, in games that matter here, go do it. I'm not sure that's fair to anybody. It's not fair to Dickey. It's not fair to Martin. It's not fair to the team. So, you know, I think in a lot of ways, you know, the circumstance is tying everybody's hands here. And, you know, that's also a factor as well.
Shai, listen, we really appreciate you doing this. Go and say hello to your family for us and enjoy the rest of the day off. Thanks a lot, man.
No problem, guys. See you tomorrow.
Shai Davidi of Sportsnet. And again, the Jays have today off the four-game series against the Yankees. And don't forget, Saturday's a 4:07 first pitch. The four-game series against the Yankees starts tomorrow night at the Rogers Center. Brian Mitchell against Francisco Liriano. We will have baseball for you tonight on Sportsnet. The Red Sox and the Orioles wrap up their series 7 p.m. on Sportsnet 360. David Price against Chris Tillman. Here's what you're doing. The AL East title's gone, so forget about that. What you're doing is you're cheering for the Red Sox to beat the Orioles. And maybe, I wouldn't say you're hoping that David Price blows his arm out, but you would not at all be upset if
that
happened.
That's terrible. You should never cheer for someone to blow
Well,
their
I mean, that would be like dream scenario for Blue Jays fan.
I guess. Yeah, I wouldn't cheer for that. I don't cheer for guys getting hurt.
No, I wouldn't. Did I suggest that?
Yes, you did.
Oh, okay.
Quite directly, actually. Well, I think that's exactly what you said.
I didn't mean it to be that direct, but anyhow. Yeah. Hey, go Red Sox. Hey. Go Red Sox. Yeah.
The Orioles are doing their part.
Yes, they are. I've caught a couple of their games. They're beset by similar issues to the Blue Jays right now.
Yeah.
Except
their pitching's crap.
Their pitching's crap, but...
Or a lot of their pitching is crap. Jimenez came back to being Jimenez last night.
They look very tired. And even the Baltimore announcers were saying that you could detect, you know, a few tired swings out there.
You know, there's some weird schedule stuff. You know, we fixate on Baltimore, understandably here. But, you know, the Astros almost exclusively play the California Angels, the Anaheim Angels, the rest of this season. Yeah. You know, Detroit's still... They seem to play the Twins every day.
Yep.
So there, you know, there's two teams, the Astros especially, who've been playing well, and I know Keuchel's done, but the fact that, you know, that California team's not very good.
No.
They got 7 games left on them. There's ridiculous number of games against the Angels.
Yeah, you want to be at the top of the wild card race.
Yeah. You don't want to catch Baltimore.
Yeah, you don't want to get sucked back in there because the other thing is, as several people pointed out about the Astros, they're the youngest team in this thing, and they're not. You know, they're not playing right now like a team that is particularly tired. So, Brent's right. The Astros, it's the Jays, the Orioles, the Astros, and Tigers right now. And, you know, the Yankees are very much on the fringes of things. But again, I mean, I don't think I have to warn anybody not to sleep in the Yankees in this particular series based on what we've seen the Yankees do to the Jays.
No, but you can finish them off recently, right? You win the first two games, the Yankees series. Yankees,
you can stick a fork in both the Yankees and the Orioles.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? If you are in the wild card race, which you are now in, it's a perfect scenario as being able to play two of the teams that are chasing you. As long as you win, it's not even that. As long as you win the series, you're basically damaging their chances.
Correct.
As long as you win the series, you're damaging their chances. As I said, we at Sportsnet 590 The Fan are proud to be involved with the Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer campaign for a sixth consecutive year. One of the Maple Leafs legends who's involved in this event and has given a lot of his time to it and lent his name to it as well is Johnny Bauer. And it's always a pleasure to speak to Johnny Bauer. Johnny Bauer will join us when the Jeff Blair Show with Stephen Brunt continues on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Go here, there, and everywhere with Jeff Blair. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Now more of The Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Show with Stephen Brunt. It's still time to get involved in the auction. We are auctioning off the ultimate golf package, including a foursome of golf at Royal Woodbine Golf Club and a framed photo autographed by Mike Weir from the 2004 Players' Championship. And the bidding has started. What did start at $300? You can call 416-764-6760 to place your bid now. That's 416-764-6760. All proceeds to benefit the Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer, or more specifically, the Princess Margaret Cancer Foundation. And again, the number to call is 416-764-6760 to place your bid now. And all donations, by the way, must be made with a credit card.
Okay. It's great. The Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer is a great event.
You've been involved in it.
I have been involved in it a few times, yes.
There are people who take it seriously, though, aren't there?
There are. I was always, you know, they had a deal where they would kind of give you to a team, right?
And, right.
I'm not sure they asked for, they certainly didn't ask. I don't think, if they'd known, they wouldn't have asked for me because I dragged several teams down over the years. But I love road hockey, actually. There's a guy who was a, you know, my big problem hockey-wise was I'm not a great skater. I'm an okay skater, but I love road hockey. I played road hockey almost, you know, consistently, at least at some point, almost my entire life, and I still play the odd little pickup game. But my God, yeah, I wound up with these super fit, super intense, super competitive dudes several years in a row. And, you know, they don't really – like, it's not like a tournament where you win. You just – you know, they keep scoring everything, but there's not, like, a trophy or anything. But the pace and the compete level was high. And I thought, you know, I thought I was going to have a heart attack a couple times. You know, my 30 seconds out there were, the first 5 seconds were great.
Yeah.
The last 25, not so good.
Well, it's a lot of these things. People are intense about this.
Yeah. You know? So
people don't take it lightly.
But it's a very cool event. Very, very successful. Huge number of teams. And the day has a really nice vibe to it. You know, there's hockey players wandering around all over the place. There's a beer tent. There's food. And it has a kind of a very festive atmosphere. And they raise a ton of money. So yeah, hats off to those guys.
Yeah, it's a good event. And one of the ambassadors at the event this year, and he's been involved for a long time with the Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer people, is our next guest. The great, the legendary, the beloved, run out of words to describe him, Johnny Bauer. Johnny, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Okay, good morning, everybody. I'm happy to do it.
You know, it's funny. The Leafs are starting camp, and most of the focus is still on the World Cup of Hockey. And I'm wondering what you think of the caliber of play you've seen of the World Cup of Hockey so far. And I got to ask you this. Do you kind of wish that international hockey was more of a thing when you were playing? Would you have been interested in being part of an event like this?
Yeah, in a sense, it just depends. I got a sore throat. Excuse me. It just depends a lot, too. I mean, I was always concentrated more on playing hockey than going to school.
Mm-hmm.
And can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Going to school and my father didn't like that too much, but we got along pretty good, and he says, well, you know, he could see something inside of me, and he just let me go and do what I wanted to do. So I was very, very lucky.
Have you had a chance, Johnny, to watch any of these World Cup games? You know, there's
yeah.
What do you think of this? I watched
Canada and Russia. And boy, I'm glad that you think I was kicking around. I was beside my wife there, and I was giving her the elbows there. And she says, "Get out there and get another chair." But every time you go there and make a stop there, I still got the reflexes. If I had the eyes and the equipment that they have today, I think I'd still be playing.
You know, maybe that's why. Maybe you should have an over 80 tournament. I think you'd be starting, wouldn't you?
Yeah, okay.
It is. You know what? It's funny because the Leafs. For whatever reason, this summer I've spent time watching Leafs TV. I've been watching a lot of the vintage Leafs games that they show. And you talked about the goaltending equipment, and it's remarkable. I was watching a game with my 16-year-old daughter, and she looked at me and she said, "These guys are so much smaller than the guys we see now." And I said, "Well, it's not just the size, but it's the equipment." And of course, now the debate in hockey is, you know, do you cut down the goalie's equipment to increase the scoring?
Right.
How do you feel about that? Because, God, the stuff you guys wore was I was so thin.
Well, we had no alternative. That's the way it was, Mr. My pads weren't too bad. Mr. Kineski had very good pads for us in that, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't that big or anything like that. There was a rule what size they had to be, and we had to use it. Our belly pad wasn't very too much. We had bruises all over our body as well at hard shots. Guys like Hull and you name them. They can fire a puck.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing a slap shot all the time, and they don't know where it's going, and I don't know where it was going, so we're just guessing a lot. But they're about 6 foot three, 6 foot four. These guys are 200-something pounds, and if they play the angles and stand up a little bit more, they'll get a lot of shutouts.
Johnny, listen, we really appreciate you joining us today. It's always great to talk to you. You know, take care of your throat, and we'll be in touch again.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Take care. That's the great Johnny Bauer. There's tremendous Johnny Bauer. And yeah, I don't know why, but I started watching the throat. Well, I know why I started watching the throwback Leafs games, because they had a couple of games I saw happened to be the Blackhawks. But God, when you watch it, it's remarkable how different the game is now.
It's a fundamentally different game. You know, and again, nostalgia would tell you it was a better game, but I'm not sure. You know, it's the guys took long shifts. They compared to the kind of short frenetic mm-hmm. shifts, they're not, you know, so you don't have the kind of bursts of energy that you have in the game now where it's all kind of up tempo. There's a lot of kind of winding around and getting wound up, and there's a lot more kind of noodling in the old game actually than there is now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously goaltender play changed completely. You know, when guys didn't have masks, you played the game differently, completely differently. But it is, yeah, it's striking. It's a very, very different sport, not just the size of the guys and the equipment and all that stuff, but the game was thought differently, I think, because, you know, because of a whole bunch of different factors. It just, mm-hmm. I think the strategy is different, you know, than it is now, you know, really, really different than it is now.
Yeah. God, I just keep thinking of Johnny Bauer. It's remarkable. I mean, Johnny Bauer keeps showing up everywhere.
Well, the great thing about Johnny Bauer, the great part of that story, among the great parts, is that when he joined the Leafs, he was an old guy then. Right?
Yes.
He'd been kicking around in the American Hockey League. 16 NHL was hard. There was only six starting goaltending jobs in the world at that level. He's playing for the Cleveland Barons, who, you know, were good enough that they, you know, at one point considered mounting a challenge for the Stanley Cup, because mm-hmm. in theory the Stanley Cup is a challenge trophy, or was still. You know, Cleveland wanted to get into the NHL. They couldn't get into the NHL, so they thought we'll challenge for the Stanley Cup. So Johnny Bauer comes to Toronto. He's already of indeterminate age.
Yeah.
Because he was also a little vague about how old he already was. So, you know, he joins that team in the early 1960s, as a guy who's, you know, already at kind of what would be conventional retirement age in those days. And we're talking to Johnny Bauer in 2016. That's, you know, he has had an amazing run, amazing, amazing run.
Yeah, it's been, you know, you don't like to get maudlin about it, but those guys, I mean, the life that those guys have lived,
mm-hmm.
guys of that age, guys who are still, you know, sort of still have their hands in hockey and in any sports in some level, the lives those guys have lived is remarkable. The guy that I spent a lot of time with who would fall into that ilk, well, one was Felipe Alou, but also Frank Robinson.
Yep.
You know, and every now and then they would just go into storytelling mode, you know, and you think, God, all the things these guys have gone through.
Yeah. No, they're a window into other worlds. And,
yeah.
You know, there's still a few guys around. You know, Ted Lindsay's still around,
mm-hmm.
right? Mill Schmidt's still around. There's a few guys who, you know, where you can say to him, what did this guy look like?
Right.
You know, what did he look like on the ice?
Dickie Duff is another guy. You talked to Dickie Duff.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a film record, right? But not, it's not really complete, and it doesn't really tell you the tale. You know, to actually have encountered people who might have seen, you know, maybe not Charlie Conacher, but, you know, you're going back into an era where, you know, kind of pre-television era.
Right.
Right. And I have no idea what those guys look like as hockey players.
That's what, I told the story in Baseball Central, in Blue Jay Central. We were talking about, I was on with Brad Fay and Kevin Barker, and they were talking about Vin Scully. And by the way, if you get a chance at some point this week, online, whatever, try to listen to Vin Scully, because this is, we're getting into the last 2 weeks of Vin Scully's broadcasting, and if you owe it to yourself, I'm sure every baseball fan's done that. For whatever reason you haven't, try to catch at least a piece of Vin Scully in these next 2 weeks. But I made the point about doing a feature story on Russ Martin when he was with the Dodgers, and arranging an interview with Vin Scully and going into the booth. And, you know, one of the questions you always ask when you're dealing with somebody like that is, who does this guy remind you of?
Yes.
So I just, in the middle of the conversation, I said, does Russ Martin, does he remind you of any Dodgers catcher? He looked at me and said, well, I've seen all of them. And I said, yep. Yeah, he probably have. And he said he's got a little bit of Campy in this. And then he starts listing all these things. And I'm sitting there thinking, my God, like, this guy is, you know, firsthand knowledge of what basically every Dodgers catcher has looked like.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you get a remarkable insight into the world from those individuals.
Yeah, you know, like Dick Irvin, you know, a guy who grew up in Dick Irvin's dad was a coach, you know, saw people from eras that, you know, are long, long gone.
Yeah.
The late, great Milton Nell, the columnist at the Toronto Star, my mentor in a lot of ways, who worked into his 80s.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd be sitting next to him at something and say, you ever seen anything like this, Milt? And Milt's point of comparison would be, well, yeah, I have.
And same thing, Red Fisher, when I worked with Red in Montreal, it's the same thing.
Yep. So,
Red, what was Bobby Orr's first year like?
Yeah, or, you know, and Milt saw the Bobby Thompson hit the home run.
Yeah,
and, you know, so yeah, it those guys are a treasure, and Johnny Bauer is like living history.
Well, I don't know if you'd call this guy living history.
Not another Dangle Dial. The Dangle Dial is brought to you by Panago Pizza.
I mean, there's no segue from everyone. Johnny Bauer to Steve Dangle.
You just did it.
I did. I try. Yeah.
Sing along, sing it with me. Finland, greatest hockey power.
What?
Everyone in Canada and in Toronto, which is Canada, everyone in the United States, everyone everywhere should be cheering for Team Finland now.
We got to
cheer
for Team
Finland to beat Team Russia.
I've been on the Finn wagon all along.
I've never been so amped for a team I don't even really care about, besides Leo Komarov, ever in my life. Because, I'm sure you all know, if Team Finland beats Team Russia, then Team North America gets to advance to the next round. Now, there are many reasons why this is great. Okay, we headed into the tournament with two gimmick teams, and then they could both potentially make it to the elimination round, both Europe and North America.
Them a gimmick.
That's hilarious. That'd be amazing. But forget all that. Forget the humor factor. Who's not cheering for this team? Genuinely, they are the heartbeat of the World Cup of Hockey. They're much more than a gimmick. Who was not entertained by that game against Sweden?
Wasn't
entertained by that.
It was a great game.
You a curmudgeon, a Scrooge, and someone who doesn't even like hockey.
Wait a minute.
Tell me you were on board the Team North America train, and at least for one day, on the Team Finland train.
I've been on the team. I'm the guy that predicted Finland was going to win the damn thing.
Correctly, of course.
Oh, correctly.
Wait. You know, Canada-Russia wouldn't suck either, though.
No.
Like, that's...
I can see, though, why people want to see Team North America.
Oh, yes. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think Austin Matthews, think he might be a big deal in this city?
No, they don't. Well, yeah, you mean a guy who's legitimately, it looks like, you know, kind of one step down from a generational talent?
Yeah.
Rather than a guy just who gets hyped because he comes to Toronto in the middle of horrible times?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. I think... He's something else.
Mm-hmm. He's pretty good.
His stick handling, his ability in close. There's a great shot of him. Well, not just in the warm up, but stick handling in his knees yesterday. He's going to be awfully good. He is going to be awfully good. The World Cup of Hockey does continue today. Finland and Russia, the aforementioned game that Steve Dangle mentioned. And by the way, the Steve Dangle Dials brought to you by our friends at Panago Pizza. Live, love, and eat fresh pizza. You can check out his blog at sportsnet.ca for more videos and podcasts. But Finland and Russia will play today at 3 p.m. at Sportsnet Ontario. The USA against the Czech Republic. They're just playing for honor at 8 p.m. on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and Sportsnet Ontario. Mark Spector, senior columnist for Sportsnet.ca, will join us. We'll continue our discussion of the World Cup of Hockey. It's a Jeff Blair Show with Stephen Brunt on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.